You don't go back into that darkness. Don't hang out in the darkness. You are the light of the world. So praise the Lord, brother and sister, that God has opened our eyes to our sinful condition through the gospel, which reveals the Savior, Jesus Christ. And through Christ, faith in Him, we have been delivered from darkness to light through the forgiveness of sins.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, the metaphor of light is used throughout Scripture to refer to righteousness and to truth. And as we'll see in your message today, that metaphor describes who we are once we've become true believers in Jesus Christ.
Yes, Dave. And as we come to our passage, we're going to see that Jesus says to believers, you are the light of the world. Not that we become the light of the world or that we should be the light of the world, but that we are the light of the world. Okay, well, in continuing our preparation for Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, we continue our look at Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archive broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
There are those who are in the kingdom of His beloved Son. There are those whose spiritual father is in heaven. Now, like we saw a moment ago concerning salt, Jesus declares that believers are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. It's a simple analogy, just like the analogy of salt. It is an analogy. He's saying true believers, present tense, are continually, habitually the light of the world. But what does this analogy mean? Well, I think it's not that difficult to understand. We see in Scripture the metaphor of light throughout. Certainly, we see consistently the metaphors of darkness and light in Scripture, right? And within that, we see light as representing righteousness and darkness as representing sin and evil and unrighteousness. We see in Scripture that God Himself is portrayed as light, and those who are truly His, they are portrayed as children of light. Indeed, in Scripture, we have the affirmation God is light. Look at 1 John 1, towards the end of your Bibles, near Revelation. Okay, so 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from Him and announced to you. Now notice this, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from sin. God by nature has no sin. In Him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and in Him there is no sin or evil. Zero. Light is also consistently seen in Scripture associated with the attributes of God. We saw this earlier, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Those attributes of God in the believer. And we also see in Scripture that God's word is metaphorically seen as light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto... It illumines His righteous ways, the righteous path, the right way. Right? Now, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, is also portrayed as light. Look at John 1. You probably know this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life and righteousness go together. Death and sin and unrighteousness go together. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The reality is, God is portrayed as light also. And we see this in the book of Matthew a little earlier, Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people who were sitting in darkness, it wasn't like all the lights were out in Jerusalem. They were sitting in the darkness of their sin. They were sitting in darkness, saw a great light. That was Christ and His righteousness, perfect righteousness. And those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself declared Himself to be light. to be light in the context of the world, by the way. He said that he's the light of the world. Wait a second, I thought we're the light of the world. Well, he's the light of the world, first and foremost, right? John 8:12, Jesus therefore spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 9:5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And now he is gone and we have him in us. And when we abide in Jesus, we are the light of the world. We are shining in the midst of a dark, sinful world. And guess what? When Jesus came, because of the Jews' hard hearts, they didn't get it. They did not receive him, that they rejected him. John 1:5, and the light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came, this is John 1:7, he came as a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light, speaking of John the Baptist. There was a true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. And we see here, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Let's look a little farther on. Actually, turn to John 3. Let's start with verse 16. You see, it is through faith in Christ that we're delivered from the domain of darkness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That implies there was a time to believe and they didn't do it, right? So then there's judgment, right? You reject, you don't believe in Jesus. When he convicts your heart, you're on your way to judgment, right? And this is the judgment, that the light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light. That means they had an opportunity. They loved the darkness, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Here's why people don't get saved, because they love sin. You see that? Now, the Christian world wants to make you think it's because they don't understand how fun it is to follow Jesus. It's baloney. They love their sin. That's what God's word says. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds, get this, may be manifest, having been wrought in God. God brought them forth. You see? It is through faith in Christ that one is delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. It is through faith that we are cleansed of our sins and able to walk in the light. Look at John chapter 12. The multitude therefore answered him, said, we have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus therefore said to them, haunting words, by the way. They've been hearing his truth. They've been rejecting it. He's saying it's just a little bit left. It says, for a little while longer, you have the light among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, in order that you may become sons of light. We become sons of the living God, and we manifest his nature, which is light, righteousness, truth, right? How about John 12:44? And Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but him who sent me. He who beholds me beholds the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. He's the light of the world. But we're the light of the world now, right? That people would not remain in darkness. We're here that people would not remain in darkness. We're here to do his work. We're here to be about his business. You are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world while he's on earth, the perfect manifestation of righteousness in a sinful world. And now he declares to those who are true believers, you are the light of the world. Listen to what the Apostle Paul shares when he recounts his salvation experience on the road to Damascus and what the Lord Jesus says to Paul. You can look at this. Turn to Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 12. While thus engaged, as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests, at midday, O king, and speaking to Agrippa, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also the things which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles whom I am sending you. Listen to this. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins. God convicts you and you see it, but you got to turn. You see it to open their eyes. They get it. Then you got to turn and believe. You got to repent and believe. He says, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. From darkness to light. Scripture is clear that we believers have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness, the sphere and reign and domain of sin, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're going to see. You don't go back into that darkness. Don't hang out in the darkness. You are the light of the world. So praise the Lord, brother and sister, that God has opened our eyes to our sinful condition through the gospel, which reveals the Savior, Jesus Christ. And through Christ, faith in him, we have been delivered from darkness to light through the forgiveness of sins that brought forth through Christ. So having been delivered from darkness to light, Scripture now identifies us with light. We're identified as light. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and the context is speaking of not being bound to non-believers and really the false teachers later on in chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, Do not be bound with unbelievers, for what partnership hath righteousness, verse 14, and lawlessness, what fellowship has light with darkness? You're light. You can't have fellowship with darkness. And now that we've been saved, we are to no longer be walking in the darkness, but in the light. And there are a few passages that give us contrasts of how we were in the darkness, but we're not to be there, and how we're to walk in the light. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper in saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Besides the thanks, that's the opposite. The other things are all darkness, right? He says there, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, because you are light, walk that way, right? Children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's the way we should be walking. Before we were saved, we were darkness. Now we're light in the Lord, so don't walk in darkness. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see the exhortation not to walk in darkness based on the fact that we were spared from God's wrath. The same thing we just saw there a minute ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you like a thief. Hey, you're not going to judgment, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others, but be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for attaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. We're not of darkness, we are of light, right? We have the same exhortation one more time. Look at Romans chapter 13. God is saying all over the place, because you're light, live that way, right? Romans 13:11. And this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. Isn't that great? We were saved from our sins when we believed. We're being saved right now, being sanctified, and we're going to be glorified. Salvation is getting closer, closer, closer. The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing and drunkenness, nor sexual promiscuity or sensuality or strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. We're going to see that the only way you're not light is if you cover up the light with sin. Okay? If you live the way you used to live and not the way you should live, then that light's not shining because it's sin, right? And God did not save us to sin. He saved us to be more like Jesus. He says to be more like him. So then we have the metaphor of light, which is a characteristic of the living God. He is light, and in him there's no darkness. He's completely righteous, holy, and there's no sin or evil in him. Mankind is in sin and in darkness, but Jesus came. He was the light of the world. And when we place our faith in him, we are delivered from darkness to light. We are delivered from the wrath of God, which will come upon those who walk in darkness. And that should motivate us to godly living. So back in our passage, comes back full circle, verse 14, you are the light of the world. So then the question would be, are we manifesting his light? From the context so far, that manifestation is good deeds in the context of righteousness, abiding in Christ, right? Let's not forget, when the life of Christ is manifest in us, so too the word of God will be coming forth too. 1 Peter 2, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Gil Roe writes, I like his teaching, if an unbeliever comes in contact with you, he ought to see your life as a reflection of the character of God. He ought to hear from your lips the truth concerning God. God saved you in order to proclaim his excellencies. What a tragedy that some unbelievers have repeated contact with Christians, yet they never hear from them the marvelous excellencies of the one who called them out of darkness into light. We ought to be proclaiming the truth of salvation. And I know, like, for instance, for Hillary, what praise here in the classroom as a substitute, she's able to share the truth of God. Well, God's word says this, kids. You need to do this, right? Share the word of God, right? That's light, right? In the context of darkness. You are the world's light. Now, what does that term world mean? Well, we kind of already know this, don't we? We are the light of the world, and obviously the world is in darkness. If you're the light there, the world is dark, right? You are the light of the world. They are in darkness, okay? And so therefore, it's speaking of unbelieving mankind. And our light is to shine later on, we'll see, before men. It's speaking of unbelieving mankind. So the world is those apart from Christ who walk in darkness. They're still in their sins. There's no righteousness in them. There is no light. The term world in Scripture is used consistently to identify those who do not know God, who live by their own standards set within their own lusts and desires. The world consists of the unregenerate, the unredeemed, those who are not born again, those who are not saved, those who function based on their own wisdom, lust, and desires, and not the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. The world consists of those who are in their sins, the unrighteous, those in darkness who walk in darkness. And by virtue of what God has said through our relationship with him now, he's declaring who we are. We are the world's light exclusively. You are the exclusive light to the world. You are the light of the world. Exclusively. We are the visible manifestation of Christ in the world. Just with the analogy of salt, we need to not miss this point. He doesn't say you're becoming light. He doesn't say pray that you might be light. I said pray that we'll be light in the world. Wait a second. You are the light of the world. Pray that you don't cover it. That's what you need to say. Pray. Pray from the opposite direction. We pray like, I want to be light. Well, no. Pray we don't cover the light with our sin. Pray that we don't go that way, right? You are the light of the world. You are the world's light. So how are we to behave in the midst of an ungodly world? First of all, we need to recognize we are the light of the world. We are the only manifestation of the righteousness and truth of Christ in the midst of an ungodly world. We are the light of the world. And then we need to recognize our purpose. Back to our passage. You are the light of the world. And then notice what he says. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives its light to all who are in the house. Simple illustration followed by another illustration, which I believe will drive home two important points, that we are light in the world in position and purpose. Our position and also our purpose, okay? Notice the first illustration. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's a pretty simple illustration. In the day Jesus shared these truths, many cities were upon hills. And if you were walking towards a city at night, you would see the light on the hill. It can't be hidden. It's right there. You can't miss it. He says here in the illustration, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It can't be hidden. It's on a hill. Now, the grammar speaks of being incapable of being hidden. It's not able to be hidden. So what's the point? I believe he's speaking of location. By virtue of us being in the world, we can't be hidden. We can't be hidden. We're in the world. You cannot be hidden in the world. Now, the light can be covered, but you can't be hidden. When God saved us, he did not remove us from the dark world, but he left us here for a time as sojourners on our way to glory. And by virtue of being in the midst of a dark world, we cannot be hidden. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, or literally concealed. Some might say, well, wait a second, can't believers hide? What about those undercover Christians, right? Well, the reality is, those who no one knows are Christians are maybe not Christians at all. If you're the light of the world, the light's going to come forth, right? Or you're in sin and you're covering it, right? And you're going to be good for nothing. The whole reason God left you behind to serve him and to manifest his character, you're not doing. What a waste. The point he's making here is that we cannot be hidden if we're true believers. If we are the blessed, when you read through those Beatitudes, we're going to be seen. It's a simple fact. City set on a hill cannot be hidden. And later on, we're going to see that we do shine, and certainly we can affect the way that light shines by covering it or not, right? 1 John chapter 2 talks about, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Saying, hey, if you're not shining, maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you never came light. Maybe you're still in darkness. So first of all, he's saying location. You can't be concealed. Now, Jesus is not saying we are to be like the world. Don't mistake this. Don't let bad guys twist this, that you got to be like the world to win the world. Don't let them twist that. Remember, it's light, not darkness. You don't become darkness to win a dark world. They're not going to see anything. They're going to see themselves, right? It's light in the world, right? We are light of the world. God has placed us so that we are unmistakable. When you get saved in your family and other people aren't saved, it's obvious you're the light of the world. You can't be moved out of the way, you know? You are there lit in that place.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, you gave us a number of passages to review and to reread about light. So give us some ways that we can be the light of the world to those around us.
You know, Dave, as I've mentioned all along, Jesus didn't say we are to be the light, but that we are the light of the world. And really, the most important thing that we're going to see is that we are to let that light shine and not cover it up with sin and selfishness. So how can we be the light of the world? How are we the light of the world? It's when we abide in Jesus Christ and allow his character to manifest in our lives that people will see his righteousness, those good works that he does through us, and then glorify our Father who is in heaven. Okay, well, we're not done with this passage yet, so make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.